broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome once again to Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com. Donate and get involved today, would you please? By the way, we talked about after six-year-old John Oliver Zippe, he fought cancer for 3 years. And we talked about classmates lining the school hallways to give him a standing ovation, welcoming him back to school. Beating cancer is a big deal, folks, and we congratulate the young man. We also talked about a man animates himself and his high school sweetheart into Sleeping Beauty, and he proposed at the movie theater. So you got a surviving cancer patient, you got two folks getting married in the traditional family, then you talked about a World War II vet, 102 years old, he finally retires from Indiana's oldest state employee. The guy's retiring at 102. I guess, you're able to do things after 60 or so. Interestingly enough, if you're a Republican or a conservative or a constitutionalist, then, you know, you're washed up, you know, by 50 or so. On the other hand, if you're like a liberal or a Congress critter or something like that, you know, congressional rep, Senate rep, something like that, senator, and you're liberal, man, you can serve to, I mean, they can prop you up by the jukebox, baby. So it's kind of an interesting twist. Journalist out of control tries to humiliate Target worker over a 1 cent purchase of an electronic toothbrush worth well over $100. The manager said, no, this is an obvious mistake. We're not selling it to you for that price. The journalist tried to use the, quote, law and browbeat the manager into doing it. But the manager, she was a tough lady, and she said, no, I'm not doing it. Well, it turns out the furious public found out about it and raised over $17,000 for the manager to say, you know what? Thanks for standing tall. We all agree this is ridiculous. That's good news. It's also good news that a man found $43,000 in a couch that he bought from a secondhand store. What would you do if you found thousands of dollars in a piece of furniture that you purchased? He talked to people and the lawyers said, hey, you can keep the cash. It's really, honestly, yours. Honestly, meaning according to the law, honest, right? But this guy says, you know what? I was thinking about all I could do with the money and everything. But then my faith kicked in and I thought, you know what? It's not my money. Someone wanted to sell the couch. They didn't really want to sell the money that was mistakenly put there. So he got a hold of everybody, gave the money back. Everybody's cheering. It's a great news story. And boy, howdy, that's three in a row. Then another good news story, a Florida police sergeant and a good Samaritan, the two of them saved a woman from a burning vehicle. Yeah, there was a burning car wreck, and these two got together, looked at each other, and said, man, we got to go get her. We got to go save her. And they do. Phenomenal story of personal sacrifice. Man, then we talked about 2.4 million households off of food stamps under President Trump. Another phenomenal news story. Wow, that's already like five stories. It took the whole hour. We had a whole hour of positive news, folks. It was delightful yesterday. I'm telling you right now, available at libertyroundtable.com, brought to you in part by The Honeyman. That's right. You want raw honey delivered directly to your door, get a hold of localhoneyman.com or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt at libertyroundtable.com or Local Honeyman. You can also call or text. That's call or text, 801-669-2211. Anyway, tremendous hour yesterday. We then talked about a couple of negative news stories the second hour we had to. We talked about the Washington State rep and personal good friend of ours, Matt Shea. He decries the investigation, labeling him a, quote, domestic terrorist back at the Capitol. Rep Shea, defiant in the face of accusations and sanctions. We also talked about a Google whistleblower. his wife, I guess, was in a fatal car crash. And now he says it may not have been accidental. Says he was warned of an accident before all this, writes Joseph Paul Watson. Or Paul Joseph Watson, sorry, I knew it didn't sound right. Paul Joseph Watson. And Google employee suggests his wife's fatal car crash may not have been an accident. Well, you know what? You whistleblow and then all of a sudden somebody's strangely dead. See, that requires extra scrutiny, in my humble opinion. Lawyer now says prosecutors intentionally scuttled the Bundy case. That's even written in the Associated Press. So let me get this right. You put a man behind bars for 2 years. You literally have the government caught lying and withholding exculpatory evidence and flat out committing perjury on the stand. You have government pointing guns at innocent citizens. And then you put a man, Ammon Bundy, behind bars for 2 years. And then he gets free because the judge says this is bogus and the jury say he's not guilty. And then you literally say Matt Shea's a terrorist because he was tied to Ammon Bundy. And Ammon Bundy and Matt Shea say, what are you talking about? Matt Shea wasn't even there with Ammon Bundy. I mean, this is insanity on steroids. We talked about UK wind farms pay billions of dollars not to run the wind turbines. I don't even know how to respond to this kind of stuff. It's like paying people not to farm. Maybe I could get a big gig that could pay me not to talk on the radio. What do you think? I could make a certain amount for talking on the radio, and I could make double, triple to shut up. And there you go. Donald Trump declares yesterday, January 22nd, National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Now, personally, I believe that's one of the biggest things President Donald Trump has done as president. And that is not the singular act of declaring yesterday National Sanctity of Human Life Day. That's big. Don't get me wrong. That's huge. But it's what he's done for pro-life the whole time, rolling back the Mexico Accord or whatever that thing's called, standing for pro-life. Now, he was the first president to appear on video to the March for Life community. I don't know if it was last year, but anyway, he's supported it every year. Been very complimentary of the pro-life people. Now, I get that President Trump used to claim he is pro-choice. So did my sad, disappointing Senator Mitt Romney used to say that stuff, too. Both of them are pro-life, and I hope they're coming to the right answer on this. President Trump and Senator Mitt Romney. I pray they're true and genuine in their hearts about this. Nevertheless, Donald Trump did declare yesterday National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Tremendous work. Well, on Friday is the March for Life event. And I've even got better news. But first, we just got to tell you that while Donald Trump is promoting pro-life, Hillary Clinton slamming Bernie Sanders says no one likes him and his supporters are misogynists. Wow. AOC demonizes business owners. That's Ocasio-Cortez. She claims they're, quote, lazy slave owners. Employees are literally dying. I mean, I don't know what planet she's on, but wow. Anyway, there you have the recap of yesterday's show. Still available online at libertyroundtable.com if you have the heart to help donate today. Now, not only did Donald support pro-life yesterday in a big way, not only did he appear in previous years by video, but now Donald's taking off the gloves. Donald Trump has now confirmed he will be the first president to speak at the March for Life rally this Friday, the 24th of January, 2020. He will speak at the pro-life rally in person. Kurt, what do you think of that? I think it's tremendous work, sir.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I don't know that we can expect for more. Ronald Reagan didn't do this, Kurt. There's not been a single president ever to have the guts to do this. And some could say, well, Donald's just, you know, appeasing part of his constituency, the right Christian. Say what you want. I'm not judging President Donald Trump's heart. I'm just telling you, to stand for pro-life like that, to make moves and to personally get involved is huge. Huge. He said he wanted judges on the courts that would stand for pro-life and that would obey the Constitution, and hopefully they will back him. And as Donald Trump becomes the first president to speak at the March for Life event in person this Friday, I just commend him and I say thank you, President Trump. And I'm telling you right now, if you make this your key, listen carefully to me. if you make this your key 2020 presidential bid, we will shut down Planned Parenthood funding and explain and teach people all that you've already done on this front and how you've been shut down by everybody and their dog. And you then literally say, we want to get rid of Roe versus Wade. That is our goal. If you blatantly come out and do everything you can to make that happen, President, you will create a landslide in 2020. Write it down. Remember who told you first. The mainstream press won't talk about it. Even the so-called conservative talk show hosts won't talk about it. But I'm telling you, this is the quintessential discussion point. The quintessential conservative constitutional viewpoint. If you can't protect life, the most innocent among us, what can you protect? I mean, this is tremendous. Now, Kurt, before our guest, I want to go to some stories that you gave me on the 22nd, which is yesterday. And it talks about a couple of stories, but the first one is an interview that David Kapilian did talking about how God redeemed a doctor who gave America legalized abortion. It's a revealing interview with the Bernard Nathanson. That's the doctor that really made pro-death acceptable in America. We'll come back, talk about that, then our guest. We got a great guest both hours, by the way, today. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, before our guest, because we're talking about pro-life and the incredible stance the President of the United States, Mr. Donald J. Trump, has taken for pro-life, declaring it national, basically, Sanctity of Life Day yesterday, and then the pro-life March for Life rally this Friday, President Trump has agreed to personally speak at the event, the first president in American history ever to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, that is historic, to say the least, and I commend the president. And Kurt, you want to talk about this incredible interview that David Kapilian over at WND.com did with the abortion doctor. And it really highlights how God redeemed a doctor who made America's legalized abortion possible. The guy's Bernard Nathanson, M.D. This, I wrote down about three details of this whole interview. That's just got to be focus points. But go ahead. This is an incredible in my opinion, expose that the American people need to be aware of and read and be caught up on, because it exposes flat out from the complete inside. You don't get more of an insider than Bernard Nathanson, Kurt.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And the right now, as we speak, the Eagle Forum's got us printing up the things for the March for Life this
Friday.
Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday?
And, I think so. Anyway, I was thinking it was Saturday morning.
All right, 24th is Saturday, is that right?
No, right. But so the 24th, I know
Friday is
maybe that's when they're
nationally.
Marching. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, they're having me do them up. They said they want to pick them up Friday night. So,
all right. Well, this is where Kurt Crosby's just doing multitasking for the sacred cause of liberty, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, anyway, when I read this, you know, it is pretty long. It's from the book called The Marketing of Evil by David Capellian. And as you said, it's basically an interview with this doctor, the one who pretty much, you know, started the whole abortion thing and things like that. This guy has since passed away. This doctor passed away in 2011. But, you know, it basically tells the story. And it's hard to say exactly what to leave out or what to pick. But, you know, the story mentions the Holocaust, which basically, you know, this author says that that's what abortion is. You know, besides the normal Nazi Holocaust, the abortion tragedy and Roe v. Wade and all that kind of stuff. What were the highlights for you?
All right. So it's very long, and I don't mean that long in a negative way. I'm telling you that it's very detailed. It is a personal interview one-on-one. And what it really does, I'm telling you, David Capellian is a phenomenal journalist. He knows what to ask and how to get to the heart of the issue. I mean, it's tremendous work on the part of WND and David Capellian in the book David Capellian wrote. He asks a lot of the right questions. And what he really does is gets to the heart of what really happened along the way. And so that's why it's called How God Redeemed a Doctor Who Gave America Legalized Abortion. David Capellian's revealing interview with Nero founders. How you say it? Nero or Nero?
Narall. N-A-R-A-L. It Narall. Stands for...
it's basically the first abortion clinics kind of
abortion. Yeah.
And, okay, so they started out in New York, and they made New York the kingpin of the East, if you will, in terms of abortions. And that's really how it rolled. They had over 140-year history of no murder in New York, and they literally, in less than 2 years in the late 60s, overturned this thing. And the doctor explaining how he did it, in my opinion, is the heart of the interview. And I mean, The Marketing of Evil, I don't even know how to say it. It's a well-named title, Kurt, but it almost understates the point of how evil it really is. I mean, I don't know how you understate it, but I'm just saying it cannot be overstated is the point. Anyway, they say that the doctor says this. He says, we repeated a big lie. We knew it was a lie when we said it, but if you repeat a lie often enough, it will convince the public. The number of women dying from illegal abortions in America was around 200 to 250 people. And that's annually, 200 to 250 people. Now, that's horrible, but it was people that would use extreme measures to murder their children, right? Only 200 to 250, but we lied. We constantly fed the figure to the media that it was well north of 10,000. So he's blatantly, quote, this doctor who's the one that manufactured the data, literally is now saying before he passed away, he lied, they lied, they fed false numbers to the media from 200 to 250, that was the real number, to 10,000, and they lied. He said, another myth we fed to the public through the media. You see why Sam and Kurt believe the media is so critical, folks? Another myth we fed through the media was that legalizing abortion would only mean that the abortions taking place would be those that are illegal would be, now be done legally. That's another lie. He said abortion is now being used as the primary method of birth control in the United States. And the annual number of abortions has increased by 1,500% since legalization. Now, Narrows, that's the group that this guy worked for. I guess it's brilliantly deceitful. I don't even, again, those words describe it perfectly, but it makes it sound like it was awesome. It wasn't awesome. It was horrible. It was flat out murder. But the brilliantly deceitful marketing campaign, bolstered by intentionally fraudulent research, was uncannily successful. Now, by the way, Nathanson, this doctor that was really the head of it all, he's not the only abortionist to switch sides in the abortion war. Believe it or not, in recent decades, hundreds of abortion providers have chosen to see the truth and leave the industry. Now, believe it or not, hundreds who have now survived the murderous intent of abortions represent millions who did not, as another story we'll get into in just a second. But this Nathanson guy basically says, hey, the tools that we used, and this is where the Mike Lee commercial really comes to play that I put together from Mike Lee's comments on the Senate floor, where they say we have the technology now. This doctor said we had the technology then, and he was involved in, as the technology came to fruition, he listened to the heartbeat. He focused on the breathing of the baby. He talked about how we could literally administer, we could take blood samples from the baby. We could find out if there was illness. We could literally treat the illness of the baby. So when the baby was born, the illness was gone. And now they're even doing surgery on babies inside the mother. And he said, this reality check convinced me beyond a doubt that the baby is alive. And he said, there's just no other way around it. He said, no, understand, this isn't for religious reasons. But he said it was just undeniable, not debatable. And so he said, that's what convinced me from being a pro-murder doctor to a pro-life advocate. And this man fought for pro-life, Mr. Bernard Nathanson, MD. This is how this guy changed from abortion to pro-life. And he fought for pro-life, I might add, for the rest of his life. Kurt, I don't know if I can do the article more justice than that. Somebody's got to read it to really get to the bottom of it. But I did my best to read it in depth, in detail myself, and then encapsulate on the radio the summary of what I think the takeaways are. Bottom line is, he used the media knowing full well that he could create two lies. And if you repeat the big lie often enough, people start to believe it. That is that the number of abortions were way up because women just needed abortion. Hey, instead of it being 200 to 250 a year, they claimed and lied and said it was well over 10,000. They also said, don't worry, it'll only be the abortions that are illegal would now become legal, that are unsafe would now become safe. And that was a lie. Now it's the primary method of birth control in the United States. Those are the big two lies that happened in the late 60s, early 70s, before Roe versus Wade became the de facto murderous intent of the land. And now you've got the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, standing as firmly against it as he can. Even his efforts have been attacked everywhere. Now, we could say Donald needs to do more, and I would say that's right, he does. But we, the people, need to get behind the president of the United States and create a landslide election. If Donald will double down, triple down, quadruple down on pro-life as he's doing, then we need to double down, triple down, quadruple down on making sure he can get that done, because nobody else in my whole life has ever stood up like President Donald J. Trump to declare yesterday National Sanctity of Life Day. And then on Friday, speak at the pro-life march that's been going on every single year since 1973. And the knowledge about the truth of the murderous intent of abortion is growing. We have got to stop it. It's over 61 million murders since 1973. We've got to make pro-life the law of the land. We need your help, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
House Democrats will be back presenting their impeachment case against President Trump in the Senate today. The seven Democrats acting as impeachment managers began their opening statements yesterday in the trial that accuses the president of abusing the power of the presidency and obstruction of Congress. Democrats claiming high crimes and misdemeanors, but Wisconsin Republican Congressman Glenn Grossman says, in fact, it's just all politics.
It's really a political impeachment. I think it's designed to muddy up President Trump, prevent him from doing what he should do, and that's unfortunate.
Three firefighters from the U.S. are dead after their air tanker crashed while fighting bushfires in Australia. The plane went down earlier today in a rural area of New South Wales, and there were no survivors, and there's no word on what may have caused the crash. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
China issues a travel ban for all residents of the city of Wuhan, which is the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak that's killed 17 people. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The ban comes as millions of people in mainland China are expected to travel long distances to celebrate the Lunar New Year. The city is shutting down all public transportation, including buses, subways, and ferries. Officials also canceled all flights and trains departing from the city in central Hubei province. Transportation officials didn't ban travel by private vehicles, but warned that citizens shouldn't leave the city unless there's special conditions. Health officials are attempting to contain the coronavirus outbreak, which likely began in the Wuhan seafood market, which has since closed.
Seattle police are looking for suspects after a shooting killed a woman and injured seven other people. It happened last night near the famed Pike Place Market and grew out of an argument involving several people. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Kurt, before we get to Brian really quick, was my summary of that okay? I do the best I can, you know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you say, to really get it all, you've got to read it all. And
yes, you do.
We do have some of the books available as well.
All right, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or email or text him, 801-669-2211. Then the last tidbit on this that I got to really cover is hundreds who survived abortions represent millions who didn't, Jerry Newcomb. And that's an incredible article that kind of needs to be talked about a little bit, too. He highlights there's over 300 people that they tried to murder that survived that stand as a witness against the murderer's intent. And he highlights in this Jerry Newcomb article three of them. And, I mean, their stories are just tremendous. We don't probably have time to get into them now. Maybe Kurt could dig them up, and on Thursday or Friday or whatever, we could talk about them. They're worth it. I guess today is Thursday. Wow. Well, anyway, on Friday we can talk about it. This issue, I believe, is the quintessential defining issue of who's who. Are you going to double down for murder or double down for life? I don't believe there's a more important issue. All right. Thank you so much for your patience on that. Brian Rust, rustquentingift.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. I just think that I didn't know till yesterday afternoon Donald tweeted out he was going to be the speaker in person at the pro-life event, the March for Life, coming up this Friday, the 24th, sir.
Well, you guys, I think, covered that very nicely. I think this is good news that needs to be brought out. One more, you know, we see just, you know, more evidence of how bad lies the news can really escalate what is not true to be what their agenda is, and this is huge. I mean, it's sad that we've let this happen over so many years. I mean, it's sad.
Amen to that. All right, what the heck is gold and silver doing?
Well, your metals today. Let's see, gold sitting at $1,557.
$1,557.00.
Right.
Okay.
Your silver sitting at $1,779.
$7.9. So that's up a bit for both of them.
Well, from last week, actually, silver's down. Silver last week was $1,805. It's sitting about $1,779. So it's down a little bit.
Okay.
Your gold's up. It looks like about $3 or $4 from last week.
Yeah. Now it's interesting how gold goes up and silver goes down, huh?
Yeah. It's there again. You know, the little manipulation pundits. I guess we see these little cycles and kind of the ups and downs and ups and downs. So it's just some of the things that have happened. I mean, like I say, it's gold. Your last, I think maybe I even mentioned it last time, it pushed over 1,600 there when we had those, missiles that were being fired back and forth. That all of a sudden shot up fairly quickly on the verge of more news. What's going to happen? Are we going to retaliate? Are we going to send, all this kind of thing. So sometimes this news will kind of spike it. But
yeah, it's kind of interesting to me how whenever there's turmoil, gold and silver go up and the bogus money goes down and people don't get it. That's right. Something people need to understand. Why, when there's trouble, do gold and silver do so well and does bogus money do what it is, bogus? Why is that if there's nothing to what we say about the constitutionality and value and necessity of honest money and all that kind of stuff? Why, whenever there's turmoil, does the honest money rise and the other money goes down? How come, Brian?
Well, I think people will all of a sudden say, oh, wait a minute here. This could be disastrous. I mean, they're going to have to pump more money and so on into a war. If we go into war, more money's pumped into that. But
yeah, well, then we should care less about gold and silver and more about our money that's going to fund the war, you would think.
Right, right. But, the debt. So, I mean, there again, it's kind of the lies that we're led to believe that would we rather hold fiat money or would we rather hold gold? And over a test of time, those that have kind of weathered storms have been those that have had, gold and silver and metals, stockpiled a little bit so that, if I can't, for instance, if you're having to wait in line at a bank or if you can't even get to a bank or everything's kind of, now you're at war and some major disasters. I mean, we've been able to weather storms in our country, but other countries that can't weather storms, you're not going to the bank. You don't have a bank right there now anymore. So, I mean, if you have...
Yeah, pretty soon you're just in a wonderful life and the doors are closed, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So you can weather storms with metals. You can walk down the street and trade this for that and this for that. The adage story was what? The wheelbarrow of currency they dumped on the ground, but they could use that wheelbarrow to move things, whatever, but that currency was worthless.
Honest money. It's never worthless. Kurt, you want to chime in? I find that interesting, that kind of dichotomy. People are just like, gold, silver, whatever. But yet, whenever times get tough, that stuff goes up and the bogus money goes down.
Well, that's a great point. And I was noticing, just looking for some headlines, looking for some stories about it. The Federal News Network .com. I didn't know there was such a thing,
dude,
but I guess there is.
FNN, Kurt.
FederalNewsNetwork.com, anyway, says gold, silver lower by the AP. And, Brian says, as a January gold contract on the New York Mercantile Exchange closed at $1,556.40 an ounce, down $2.40. What's a gold contract? Is that, really for gold, or is that just a paper that says you can get gold?
So you're leveraging paper. So you're buying paper on a contract that's maybe, coming due at, maybe months and months down the road. So you can lever X amount of dollars or whatever, a small amount, to leverage high amount at a given rate that you're saying, okay, this contract, we believe it's going to be higher. We say it's going to be lower. And it's kind of like you're betting on the fact of it's up or down, and then you would cash out making money, give or take, of what you're leveraging. So you can, for instance, at one point you could buy some of these options. You could buy and take physical demand, but now I don't know if many people do take the physical, because I don't know if there's much physical out there to take. But yeah, it's mostly done on paper trades.
And the problem with that is what, Kurt?
Well, it's a paper game, isn't it?
It's not a real representation, is it?
Or whatever. What I was going to ask too is, those new 2020 Silver Eagles from the U.S. Mint. Do you have those available now?
We got those. Those are in. We're selling those. Yep.
How much are those?
Oh,
do you remember?
They're gonna run about $20.79 or so.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, just for your kind of gee whiz collection, there used to be what was called a $20 gold piece. Now you got a $20 silver piece, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that says $1 on it.
That ought to make you feel better. And then the government's running
That's
around
really
telling me not to peddle sense. Fake news, huh, Brian?
There you go.
What the heck's going on, man? Maybe we got to sue the administration for printing $20 worth of silver and calling it a dollar.
Well, yeah, I think we'd have to get in line, though. I mean, there'd be plenty of lawsuits out there over a lot of things.
Boy, howdy, is that the truth. Wow. What we know about the Silver Eagle silver dollars that come out in 2020. Every year they have a Silver Eagle silver dollar that says a dollar on it, and it costs $20 right now to get one. The new ones are out. They're beautiful. Do you like the New Year look? Are the New Year ones cool?
Yeah, that's one of your most popular coins out there, is that Silver Eagle. Beautiful design, yep.
What else do they release yearly or whatever? Do they update a lot of coins often? Most people don't even really realize that the federal government does use the Treasury and does still create these things. They mint them, right?
They do. They're printing a lot of material. So, I mean, they're buying, the belief is the fact that they're buying a lot of metal off the market, off the world market, trying to produce. It's kind of a profit-making game in their scenario, because they want to produce silver eagles, they want to do gold eagles, and every other country's producing theirs as well. There's a lot of metal being pulled off the market in producing these products, and it's a profit market for them. They take their percentages, 2 or 3% off the top, and they're not buying anything back, so they a lot of stuff is produced.
Because I find that interesting. When I was young, I didn't even realize the government did that. I thought, oh, man, that's just like old stuff, you know. But it's modern. They do it all the time. Do they do numismatic stuff?
They're not making numismatic thing. Well, I mean, they make a commemorative type thing saying, oh, that's a low number. But the modern day commemorative items that are being produced are not as popular, and a lot of times don't hold their value. They're a little higher priced things, but they don't tend to hold their value as much. We've seen a lot of that go down. Maybe 1% of it would go up, the rest would drop. So, that market's your old coinage and so on is more of your collector market. We're not produced anymore. This is what we made. Some of it may have been melted. So, yeah.
All right, got a couple quick other stories to bounce off Brian before we let him fly. Hang tight, everybody. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live.
Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The reason I think honest money is so important, folks, if we were to return to constitutional currency, gold and silver, you know, a lot of the foreign aid we give, a lot of the war mentality, the military-industrial complex, a lot of the government education funding, a lot of the environmental wackoism funding that we see all around the globe, you know, most of that would be shut down if we returned to honest money, wouldn't it, Kurt? I mean, they just wouldn't be able to fund all that stuff.
Well, I mean, and the key thing is, you know, the issue is honesty, as you brought that up before, Sam.
Yeah, the issue is honesty. Brian, what do you think, though? I think this is critical to understand. Without this fake money they've got going on, 90% of their shenanigans would stop.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, I think that honest money, and you know, that's, I think, why we kind of keep telling people that they, you know, peace of mind, protection, not have to rely on government to take care of us, because that, you know, we don't know where that's going, and they just seem to not care about printing money. You know, I think I read this, you know, in the book, The Survival Blueprint of America, but it says that any reasonable study of paper money systems versus gold-backed monetary systems demonstrates the superiority of gold immediately. Why does almost every modern government choose paper? The answer is because paper money allows the wealthy and powerful vested interest in our economy to manipulate interest rates, prices, and money supply and credit to their exclusive advantage. So there you go. I think that answers kind of the question. You know, if we have gold and silver on our hand, we don't have to borrow money. We don't have to, you know, we can rely on what we fall back on to help us and take care of us. And it's kind of peace of mind, I look at.
Yes, indeed. There's a headline that says you can make $100,000 a year working at Taco Bell. I kid you not. They say parent company to offer six-figure annual salaries for general managers in select locations, says the headline. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, I heard that. You know, I guess they're... you know, turnover, I guess their turnover, they're looking to maybe give those that kind of to run the places there more money to, so that they can maintain the higher ups, I guess, in their stores to train those who that. But, and they're looking at that maybe as a good thing, pay more money, maybe have a stronger business.
Yes. Now, working at Taco Bell making $100K might not be too bad. They say that a lot of the companies are starting to increase wages for good people and managers at some of these fast food restaurants. But the one that pays the most might shock you. Do you know who it is, Kurt?
Chick-fil-A?
Nope. The average annual salary for managers at California-based In-N-Out Burger? Exceeds $160,000 a year. I'm thinking, Kurt, you need to go work for In-N-Out Burger, buddy. Wow. Man. They say with starting pay ranging from $12 to $17 an hour, That's kind of an interesting twist. But, you know, so some of these places are becoming very lucrative places to work. I think it's because they need people who are willing to become true managers and hold the operations together. And there's starting to be, in my opinion, a big disparity between fast food restaurants of those who can remain clean and operate efficiently and produce profits versus those that are ran wrong and eventually get ran into the ground. Chick-fil-A is an example. I agree with Kurt on that. In-N-Out Burger is an example, too. They get a very limited menu, intentionally so. Clean restaurants, they do a big business, man. You can see by the lines they're doing well. But $160,000 for their managers. But, Brian, what would the salary be if they were being paid in gold and silver, sir?
Well, I guess intrinsically, I guess you could say that it would be a lot better, because that money, not only could they make 160 of the dollars or fiat currency, but they could maybe, you know, pay, would increase in value. So it would, you know.
Believe it or not, I find this interesting. I find that there's about a 35 times on the average destruction of our money. Okay, day in and day out, product in, product out. Overall, it's about a 35 times destruction. A dollar in yesteryear real honest money is about worth $35 today. So just so you know, if you take $160,000 and divide it by 35, that'd make about $4,500 a year, sir.
Yeah.
However, your point is well taken. That $4,500 would go further, Kurt.
Well, you know, if you made $160K in paper money and you could trade it for those beautiful silver eagles from the United States Mint that say $1 on them, you could,
now it's going
you could
south
basically get 8,000, you know, I mean, 8,000 of those would turn into $160,000. Think of that, you know, I mean.
Well, and wouldn't that increase, I mean, if you had 45,000 in gold next month, maybe that 45,000 that you got there, now you would use some of it for expenses, but maybe some of that money just went up by $30, $40, $50 a piece or whatever, it would increase. Now your fiat currency probably isn't going up by, you're not going to be able to increase that investment or that wage based just on the old wage. Yeah, you're going to pay get X amount the next year, but you would have increased value. I mean,
well, the hidden tax of inflation always continues to rape the wallets of those who indulge in fiat, where that doesn't happen to constitutional currencies. So that alone, that hidden inflation tax is critical to understand. But I'm telling you that if we were to have honest money, not only would your those be the numbers, but your dollars would go further. I mean, just imagine a dollar would be a real valuable thing.
Exactly right.
Whereas now a dollar's just like, are you kidding me?
And maybe even since you were constitutional and you followed the, you know, kind of the advice of the supreme lawgiver of the land, maybe the windows of heaven would open on you, and heck, who knows?
Then you'd start to really prosper, wouldn't you, folks?
That's right.
In fact, that's not even a maybe. That's a guarantee, folks, from the Lord Almighty, author of liberty. He gives us that promise that if we keep his commandments and we're honest in our dealings and we do all these things, that he'll prosper our efforts, and boy, do we need it. I also think of the dollar stores, Brian. Just imagine if everybody was running around with a $20 equivalent in fake money, dollar, silver eagle, silver dollar, and they're like, hey, I'm going to go in here and see what I can get for a buck. Instantly, you'd be able to get a lot of stuff, man.
That's right. You fill that shopping cart, and it'd look pretty good coming out of there.
And you'd pass out, you'd give what, you know, maybe one or two or three pieces of silver away? Is about it?
Well, you give a dollar to somebody else, and now they're blessed, and that dollar, now they're filling their shopping carts, and everything's going more people, you know, you're able to give and bless more, and I think the whole thing works better.
And then people would be like, I can't afford to give somebody a dollar. It cost me $20.
You know, and you think about how one of the top 10 commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Basically, you're not supposed to lie, and you think about using paper money instead of honest money. You think it's a way that, you know, we can basically keep that one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, but who's bearing false witness? Let's be clear. The silver eagle, silver dollar that calls that a dollar is not bearing false witness from the Treasury. The people that are bearing false witness are the Federal Reserve people that claim their fiat piece of paper is a dollar when it takes 20 of them to get another one. They're the ones not telling the truth.
Amen.
That's right.
Right? I mean, I just want to highlight the truth on that. All right, anything else we should know before we let you fly, Brian?
I think, you know, put a little aside. Prepare. Peace of mind. It's a good thing to have.
Godspeed, brother. Thank you.
Hey, you're doing a great job, guys. Thanks.
Brian Rust, RustQuentinGift.com. Brian does a great job. And, you know, what I like about Brian is he's grounded in the principles, not only about honest money, but about, you know, I mean, this guy sits back and listens to our discussions on how abusive and hostile abortion is and stuff like that. And, you know, he appreciates that kind of talk. And RustQuentinGift.com backs the kind of radio we do. There's very few people that have the guts to get that done, Kurt. They're just like, you guys are nice guys. We love you. And we agree with you. But we really can't tell anybody about that. Right, Kurt? But Brian just doubles down.
We're behind you. You know, is what some guys would say. But you look back there and you go, man, how far back behind you behind us are you? You know, we can't really see you.
The average annual salary for managers at the California-based In-N-Out Burger exceeds $160,000. I can't get over that, Kurt. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, like you say, I think they understand something that, you know, and the other thing, that, I mean, they understand when you pay good money for, you know, you're going to attract good workers. And the thing, or I shouldn't say good money, but when you say you pay high dollars, even if it's the fiat currency, at least you attract better people. The other thing to kind of point out is no government forced them to raise their wage, did they?
Not that I know. Nope. And the other interesting thing about this is when you pay somebody $160,000 a year, or even in the case of Taco Bell, $100,000 a year, you're now paying somebody, Kurt, that can actually raise a family. You know, you're paying somebody enough wages where they're like, hey, I don't need to just make this a temporary job when I'm a little kid at my first job or whatever. This can become a career for people. It can become an opportunity for people to have enough money to raise a family on. And see, I believe those are the things that make society sustainable. Now, I know they want you to believe that me not being able to, you know, let a cow fart before I get my milk or whatever, that's the deal. But I'm just telling you, this allows sustainability in the right way, the right term, the word used in the proper sense, which is, hey, you know what? Somebody can live in their community. They can run one of these restaurants. They can be the manager. They can do all the work that it takes. They can provide a quality product. And they can actually support their family and think of it as a career to do so. And I personally think that has some tremendous value in it as well. Hey, before the end of the hour, Kurt, I just want to tell you a couple of the guests that are coming up. Next hour, we're going to have our buddy on with us, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union. He's the president of NTU.org, by the way. And then, let's see, tomorrow we're going to have on our good friend, the good Sheriff Richard Mack. And we're going to have on Patty Stockman with us, wife of Steve Stockman, who's in prison now, a political prisoner. That's who's coming on tomorrow with us, Kurt. And on Saturday, I'm by myself because Kurt runs his honey businesses on Saturday and can't join me. But I got David A. Clark Jr. with me, the good sheriff, on the radio. That's now working to keep Donald Trump elected. He's working on the border fence, the border wall, and some things like that, Kurt, behind the scenes. He writes articles for townhall.com. He's been really involved in Twitter and promoting the truth about Trump. He's been doing a phenomenal job. So we'll have on David A. Clark Jr. on Saturday. And then on Monday, we're back to our two regular weekly guests, but with tremendous information. Lowell Nelson, first hour. Dr. Scott Bradley, second hour. And we'll be talking more with Lowell Nelson and others about the up-and-coming 45-day legislative session in the state of Utah. I'm fearful of that sucker. Every time that comes around, man, I just I almost have, what do they call that? PSD?
Anxiety. Yeah, PTSD.
PTSD, mm-hmm. Anxiety. But whenever that legislative session comes around, 1,000 bills about rape me of all my rights, and at the end I just go on, you know, panting on the floor because of the abuse that it, you know, incurs and stuff. Anyway, we'll be talking about all that kind of stuff. So that's just a summary of what's to come. Hour one of the can, two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today for Sam and Kurt and Brian. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.